Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, Hour 2. It's a little happier. I got Fancy Brian on the board in Waukesha. I got Evan taking your phone calls right here in Madison. And, you know, your calls are welcome. 844-967-2789. Now, I want to bring back some opinion for Hour 2. You know, not that I, you know.
You've been holding back this whole time.
I know. Normally, I try to be restrained in my thoughts and my opinions. Nothing but straight journalism here. But just for the hour, I'm going to share a few of the opinions, in this case, of Paul Fanlon over at the Cap Times right here in Madison. And Paul makes a comparison between Joe Biden and Tony Evers. And unfortunately, the headline is Four Reasons Why Joe Biden and Tony Evers Struggle. They're similar characters, at least politically speaking. I'm going to read some of the article. I'm going to jump down to the body. Taken together, one more paragraph down. We'll skip that one as well. You might think that President Joe Biden and Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, both normal, decent centrist leaders who seek to collaborate, would be faring better with the public than they are apparently are. People seem to forget that the Republican alternatives to these guys are not Dwight Eisenhower as president or Tommy Thompson as governor, but the assortment of crazies and grifters who dominate the modern GOP. Yet the most recent Marquette University Law School poll, the state's preeminent measure of voter sentiment, and we had Charles Franklin on very recently, had Evers, Tony Evers, job approval at 45%, and here in the Badger State, Joe Biden's at 43%. So Paul asks, what underlying factors make it hard to be popular while governing as an ideologically moderate adult? I can think of four that apply. Now, he pointed out back, you know, one of the paragraphs I skipped in this article. You might think that President Joe Biden, never mind. Oh, here it is. Taken together, they paint Trump as perhaps the most volcanic, narcissistic, and dishonest leader in American history. Now, Paul's going from his reading list and some of the authors he read recently, Philip Rucker and Carol Linning, Bob Woodward and Robert Costas, Michael Wolff and journalist Jonathan Carl of ABC News. They all wrote Trump books. And apparently, you know, Paul was at a dinner party and, oh, what have you read lately? And he labels all these books and nobody wanted to chat. Well, Paul, you could have joined us on the airwaves at 844-967-2789. But as Fanlon points out, Wisconsin's former Republican governor, Scotty Wanker, as I like to call him, was certainly no Trump, but he too governed by scaring and dividing us. Keep that in mind. We're going to come back to Wanker in a bit. Republicans block everything. Here's number one. He's got like four ideas. Why it's so hard for Biden and Evers to break through. Because Republicans block everything and pay no price. The GOP is evilly brilliant in executing on its foremost goal, never, ever cooperating with Democrats. Biden arrived in the White House with hope that he could win over some Republicans, and as he did back in his backslap and deal-making days as a U.S. Senator from Delaware. That was inexplicable given how, as vice president, he saw firsthand the job one more than any public policy concern for the GOP was to make Barack Obama one-term president. They failed, but that's who they were and still are. Talking about the Republicans, of course. Evers did know what was coming for him even before taking office in 19, when the Republican legislature diluted the authority of his office prior to his inauguration. Well, they could only do so with the signature of the Wankinator on the lame duck legislation. This week, a big state budget surplus was announced, and Republicans immediately indicated they would not support Evers and try to use the surplus to help people hurt in a pandemic because it might lift the governor in this, an election year. You know, it gets very political in the election years. A little bit more. Both Evers and Biden must mollify the far left. Now, Paul Fanlon's more of a centrist. I don't agree with this, but let me throw it out there. This has been a bigger problem for Biden than Evers. Wisconsin Democrats seem to realize that Evers has limited ability to pass much, given the GOP legislature's wall of resistance. You know, there's another wall. Build that wall. What Evers has done is interrupt the state's decade-long sprint to the far right with his veto pen. There have been some grousing that Evers could be more adversarial on the state budget, for example, but it's hard to see that as a political winner. Well, give me time. I could explain the rationale and the strategery, Paul. For Biden, though, this has been a central problem. He has had to hold together a coalition of the far left and moderate interests that won him the election. But by pursuing ambitious programs coveted by the far left, he has undercut his own narrative. Well, Paul, most of Biden's agenda, it's not far left. It's the American agenda. It's what the people want. Don't forget that. Just because you got centrists that obstruct doesn't mean that, what, the entire country is far left, including Republicans, that would want things like Medicare for all? Of course, we're not going to get there. But anyways, Paul, don't blame it on the left. Instead of being able to take credit for his big pandemic recovery and infrastructure programs and for returning normalcy to American government, Biden has had to pursue a much larger spending agenda that has so far failed, creating an unfair loser narrative. Well, only because you didn't go out and brag when you succeeded. Instead of looking for the next big win, why don't you tell me, hey, man, I won today. It's a great win. This is not football. We don't celebrate for one night and look forward to next week's game. We celebrate and celebrate and celebrate until the next victory, and then we celebrate some more. That's how you do it in politics, Fancy.
Heck, the Trump tax cuts happened in 2017, and they've been going, look at our tax cuts, look at what we did.
Ron
look at what
Johnson we did. Was bragging about it this week. That going was this back week,
to,
right?
Going back to Miss Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately?
Given the 50-50 split in the U.S. Senate that includes Democrats in name only, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, truly transformative spending was never going to happen. But Biden apparently decided he owed his far-left supporters the effort, even though it cost him politically. You know what? I'm not going to own that one, Paul, but I read on, because here's where I think he really gets to the point. The right's language domination endures. Now, I whine all the time. You hear me whine about the media platform that is right-wing talk radio, and, of course, Fox News, the number one cable news channel. Number one for the last 20 years. And right-wing talk radio in the state of Wisconsin, 81 outlets. There's four of our little stations now. So we're getting there. But that's not quite 81 yet.
Not quite.
But it's also the language being used between the right and the left. So let's get to the heart of this opinion piece. Biden and Evers continue to be hurt by the malevolent mastery of Republicans at branding. The best recent example is their success in taking the phrase critical race theory, a decades-old common-sense academic concept that says race is a social construct embedded in cultures, and slapping it on every racially connected controversy. The GOP has used this to poison even modest efforts to move the country forward in conversations about racial history. Yeah, happy Black History Month, brought to you by the Republicans. We just don't talk about Black history. Another example is how the GOP paints all of those who want increased scrutiny around police behavior as being part of the defund the police movement, which is a major problem at a time when violent crime in Wisconsin and nationally has increased. The same Republicans who want to ignore the January 6th insurrection love to blame Democrats for protest violence of any kind that occurred in Kenosha. That was after the Jacob Blake shooting. You know, it turned into the vigilantism of Kyle Rittenhouse acquitted at trial. But anyways, here's a few of their other good ones. This has been going on for a long time. Think open borders, death panels, Obamacare. Face it, Democrats are just not as good at finding distorting labels for mainstream GOP ideas. That's where I come in. Democratic Party, I mean.
But they've given us enough actual things.
Insults, those, that's my strength here, Fancy.
I know, and that's the thing that I'm pretty good at, too. But I also like to have my schoolyard insults based on, you know, reality and not just going, hey, look, I rhymed right.
There's plenty of there. We got plenty of material to work with, Dems. Just call us. Call us, 844-967-2789. A little bit more from Fanlin's opinion piece. The media play along. Too often, professional journalists, and I exclude myself from that statement, under relentless attack from Republicans about mostly non-existent bias, engage in what some call both-sidism by suggesting that blame for political dysfunction is equally shared, which is simply not true. On Biden, here's recent proof. Washington Post columnist Dana Milbanks did data analysis, 200,000 articles from newspapers, network and cable news channels, political publications, news wires, and more to do a sentiment analysis of coverage. The result? Biden was treated at least as or even more negatively than Trump. How to explain why Biden would be treated more harshly than a president who actively subverted democracy? Question mark, Milbank wrote. Perhaps journalists, pressured by Trump's complaints about the press, pulled punches. I think that was it. Milbank acknowledged the need for a skeptical and independent press, but wrote, how about being partisans for democracy? You know, small d, democracy.
It'd be nice if they actually cared about the things that they were, you know, running for.
Well, both Tony Evers, the governor of the state of Wisconsin, and Joe Biden, the president of the United States, you got the bully pulpit, and you got devil radio, and you got WAUK 540 AM, and you got the Shaw 101 FM, and you got this powerful audience out there listening. So let's load them up. 844-967-2789. The 420 break. We'll be right back.
See you tomorrow. It's time to get to work.
Get your work straight, Jack.
I think the criticism will be dissipated as we move forward.
You're a line dog face pony soldier.
Holy mackerel, folks.